I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Genesis Touch! 16-bit arcade graphics.
The 30th anniversary Genesis Touch!
16-bit action.
The 30th anniversary Genesis Touch!
Get Golden Axe, Shinobi 3, Phantasy Star 4, Streets of Rage 2, Shining Force, and many more. Only with the Genesis Mini. 30 years young. Pre-order a 16-bit Genesis Mini now and get 40 legendary games plus 2 bonus games.
Genesis does!
Whatever, Sulu.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. I'm Scott Johnson, your host, and all my mini consoles do wheelies because the cables weigh more than they do.
Oh, that's the truth. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think I may be giants. How else could this NES console look so classic and yet so mini? It's probably just a fad.
Probably. It'll end before you know it.
It'll end before you know it. 2016 to 2022, it's over.
It's over, baby.
The grave's blown up.
Don't stress. We got plenty to talk about here. Hey, it's going to be great because we're talking about mini consoles today. We're talking about the retro consoles that everybody is buying now, these little classics and minis and remastered, and they're all like the size of nothing, like a little half the, a quarter of the size of what the originals were, and it's all digital, and you plug it into an HDMI cable, and boom, you're there. But maybe you don't know. Which ones are the best ones? Which ones should I get? Which ones are on the horizon? I don't know.
Which one can I afford?
Yeah, you're going to have to sit around and listen. Or which ones are discontinued stupidly? That's another thing we're going to talk about. Anyway, that's all coming up on today's show. Before we get going, though, a couple things. Because of this damn show, I played a ton of Pac-Man this week. And learned a couple things during the week. So playing Museum Collection 2 or whatever. Plus, whatever it is.
Plus, there you go, plus. Why can't we name things reasonably now? What's wrong with us?
It's stupid. Why can't it just be 2? Because we already had a 1, and the 1 was not well received, and now we have 2. Anyway.
2 plus.
The 2 plus 2 equals this. I played a bunch of Pac-Man, and I unlocked all the games in there, and some of them are a little annoying. It's like, play 2 games of Mania to unlock arrangement, and then to do pack attack 3 times so that you can unlock pack and pals or whatever. So you have all these things, these hoops you got to jump through. I played it all on the Xbox because I was trying to see how the latency issues were going. Because there was a lot of complaints that there were latency issues on that version of the game.
Right.
And I didn't notice it except in pack attack. Pack attack seems to be really delayed. Everything else seemed fine. So I don't know what's going on there. It's really weird.
Don't have a pack attack, Scott. I mean, it's just a video game.
It's just a video game. Don't have an attack of packs. I agree.
Right.
So I played a ton of that, and I have 2 things to say about it. Number one, the version. So there's 2 versions of Pac-Man arrangement in that set.
Oh, wait. There is.
Yeah. This was a surprise to me. So they only list it once, but there's 2 of them in there. One is the arcade machine.
Right.
And one is the console version that is specifically the PSP version of the game.
Oh, that's right. That's the one you love.
That's the one I like. Yeah. So it's widescreen, super sharp graphics.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good. Now, they're both essentially the same game. A little bit different, though, because the other one's vertical. The arcade one's kind of vertical. And even the GBA version of that game was vertical, but it scrolled. The PSP version or the widescreen version, which is the console version included in the Plus collection, is widescreen. And they've changed some of the layouts of levels to be wide and have more going on the sides than they do on the top or the bottom. So I don't know.
Arcade, arcade modes or arcade screens are 3x4, right? Standard. And then 4x3 is your typical TV.
Yeah. And look, your mileage may vary. You may be like,
right,
oh, this is, you know, I prefer the long or I prefer the tall, but they're both there and in their full former glory, whatever that glory is.
Scott likes it long.
The GBA version is not there, but that's okay. I emulate that one and owned it on a cartridge somewhere. It's a great game. Love that game. And it probably is still my favorite. There's something about it. Maybe it's just because that's the one I played first. But anyway, I got all those unlocked. That's not even the important part. Got all this done. And then I went, all right, what do I want to do? Do I want to sit around and have Pac-Man build out his arcade and put more machines and flowers and shit all over the screen? Should I do this? And then I went, how about instead I hunker down on the couch and barely move and play nonstop Pac-Man Championship Edition 2, which is not included in the collection. It's on its own.
Oh, that's crap.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why it's not in there. Should be. It's newer, though, so people are probably... It's like 2018. It's not considered
a
classic, whereas Championship 1 came out in like 2012, so I get it. Anyway, I don't know how people feel about 2 these days, but man, I think that game is freaking rad. It's so good, and I am just happy to be playing that. So, a whole bunch of Pac-Man in my life. Oh, by the way, I could not stop playing fast enough that weird Japanese import that we never got here. Pac-Man Adventure.
256 one or the...
No, the 256 is great. It's Adventure, or it's the one with the side-scrolling SNES Japanese port.
The SNES one that was also... that was... Adventure...
It's Adventure, isn't it? Just Adventure?
Is it now? Is that? I thought it was Pac-Man Time. Well, now we got to take a look again.
I don't freaking remember
how short our memories are.
Not the scrolling one where you shoot slingshots at stuff to activate them.
That's you're right. You're right. That would be the crap. There's too many Pac-Men and they're all eating my soul. No, that's Pac-Man Time. Isn't that right?
You don't do any time travel in it.
Maybe not then.
I don't know, dude. What do I know? I don't know anything. The important thing is, though, play the hell out of Pac-Man and have a great time. Yeah,
it was based on another game. What was it now? Now I'm forgetting. Oh my god! See, this is just like in school. Mm-hmm. I learned all my homework for the week.
Yep.
And then by the next week.
Yep.
It was like, what did we talk about again?
Oh, here it is. It's a Pac. Where is this? Miss Pac-Man.
I thought it was Super-Man. I'm almost positive it's Pac-Man Time, right?
Is it Super?
It's not Pac-Land.
It's not Super Pac-Man. It's not Pac-Land. It's not.
I'm telling you, it's Pac-Man Time. It's got to be.
You know what? It might be. Hold on. Let me double check. I'm thinking of the right thing here. Oh, yeah. This is it. Pac-Man Time. Yeah. That game's not great. It looks neat.
I'm with you. I played the first 10 minutes of it and I was like, yeah, I want to play more of this. And then I went back and I think I played for about 20 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to play much more of this. It's
underbaked.
It's neat. No,
it's just not done or it's too bouncy and random. And I don't know. It's chaos.
It's made from, it's based on another game called Fury of the Furries, and we talked about that last, right? That's right.
Now it's all coming back to me. Okay, so I guess he does go back in time. Good for him.
Yeah, we don't go that far. I'm not gonna get to that story point.
He's a poo-poo. He's a poo-poo head.
Has a hook. What'd you call it? You had so much trouble with it.
I couldn't think of it. It's a grappling hook, but I called it about 20 other things before settling on a grappling hook because I'm an idiot. Anyway.
I'm glad you went back and played some more Pac-Man because I left Pac-Man last week and I did not look back, not even once.
Oh, wow.
I put my Pac-Man stuff up after the show and didn't look back again. Shame on me.
You had your fill. I had my fill. I didn't have my fill. I was hungry still, so I kept playing. It's really good. And I'm not done with Championship 2. I'm really enjoying it. It's really good. So I'm going to keep
messing with that. But I do think after the show, I did play some more arrangement. But then I packed it up.
Yeah.
Then I packed it up.
PAC'd it up. I get it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, pack it up.
Also, arrangement is always playable and always good. So those are the two I will probably... Here's what's hilarious. I probably got... Well, it's Game Pass, so who cares? But I ended up getting the Plus Collection so that I can play arrangement. And then I will get out of that collection to play Championship 2 because... Those are the two best games right now, in my opinion. I know everybody's got their opinions.
No.
Miss Pac-Man, nowhere near any of this. I'll play that on another emulator, whatever. But, yeah, it's a good sign that thing's doing okay. All right. You picked up a dirty old PS3 this week. What's that about? Not even retro. What is that thing? What is it?
So let's talk about this week's retro pickups, including... Not necessarily extremely retro, but it's got some retro feels to it because the PS3 does play the PS2, which is almost retro, so it's not too many.
Only the first production run did.
Did you get the Slim PS3 that I got is moddable so that I can play region free and old stuff. I'm going to do the mod on it, but first. I got off Facebook Marketplace. I met a dude met me at Walmart, $40, no cables. That's fine. This is a standard power cable. Just a little, standard old plug. The power supply is in the PS3.
Why it was so damn heavy. But when did you meet this guy at a Walmart? What time of day did this happen?
It was like afternoon. It was like 5:30. It was still plenty of daylight. I don't do meetups after dark. I don't do that. That's not me.
And he didn't say, while you're here, I'll give you a discount if you give me a handy or something. You didn't get one of those deals.
I didn't stay long enough to find out if he was going to say that. So he didn't have that. And it's just HDMI cable. So those are two things I really, really needed. And I already had some controllers, so we was all good there. So I was like, $40. He said it works. I'm like, cool. I pick it up from the guy. He's a smoker, and that's fine. It's his car. He can smoke all he wants. But immediately I was like, I should have checked if it's, it's probably going to smell smoky. It looked like it was kind of dirty, like dust and stuff in it. So I don't usually bring those things in the house. You'll get bugs. So
you wrote oily. Is oily an accurate description of the PS3?
Oily is where I'm getting to. So okay. I took it out in the backyard and I was like, okay, I'm gonna get my air compressor, just gonna spray it off. Spray off a little bit. Then it's like, why is it? It feels oily or something. Why does it feel oily? So I popped it open. No dust really. No dust at all. But I did notice. I kind of got in there and I was like, what is this? It smells like motor oil. Why does it? Did they leave it in the back seat or something with some motor oil spilling or something?
What happened there? That's foul.
That's what I was curious about. So I kept digging deeper. So I was like, okay, well, let me look at this. And I was like, okay, it kind of looks like it's all back here in this one corner, which is where the fan blades are blowing. And I got to looking, and I guess the fan must have been noisy or something at one point in time, and someone's at-home solution was to put a little motor oil on it.
Oh,
so
Lord.
They did that. But they I guess they must have used too much because, it dripped down into the blades and the fan spins and it sprayed it all over in the one corner, which wasn't ideal. It did work.
Okay. Damn, dude. I'd have been afraid, dude. Like it was going to catch on fire or something. That thing's all lubed
up. Exactly. So I said, okay, on pause. I said, we're not doing anything else with PS3 until we do a complete teardown and wash. So I did. I did alcohol bath, in the appropriate parts. I took plastic pieces apart. I took this thing all the way down to the bone.
Yeah.
And, washed the plastic parts that I could and got rid of all the
That's impressive because that machine was notoriously hard to take apart back in the day.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of screws. But so it's sitting on my table right now back here. That's what it looks like right there. There's their board.
That's the PS3 board?
What's that?
That's the PS3 board?
Yeah, that's the PS3 board. That's the whole thing right there. Since I had to dig it all the way out, I had to disconnect the fan and everything. So I had to put some new grease on there.
Some new monkey grease. Yeah. So I'm looking at that.
So I can transfer that heat off of there.
That is a little bit more sparse than I would have thought. I never saw the Guts one.
Most of the PS3 Slim is power supply and CD-ROM.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Most of it is that.
Yeah, that power supply was heavy, but we were all glad it was there. Your 360s, on the other hand, had that giant brick hanging off of it.
Right.
So that was weird. But all that stuff's gotten better these days. Although the consoles have gotten bigger, too. The Series X and PS5 are freaking monstrous.
And, right.
Part of that is because they got a big power core to them, as well as a bunch of other parts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd be really curious to see. Somebody's done this somewhere, but I'm sure there's like a breakdown of all these consoles. You know what I wish I would have done? Here's what What's I wish. That? Sold all my consoles like when they were old and time for a new one. That's what I often did. And I've regretted it ever since because there's stuff I would love to still have. But here's what I wish I would have done instead. Tear them apart and build one of those like almost like insect boards you do when you're like collecting butterflies.
Oh, yeah.
But you just fill it with the parts and like here's the main board. Here's the CPU. Here's the fan. Here's the guts. Here's the plastic outside. Here's the whatever. And just label it and have these cool like dioramic looking framed things. I would love that. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that would be so cool, man.
Yeah.
Hey, PS3 release date, original.
2005, late that year, because earlier that year.
2000, right, 2006, close.
Six.
So, yeah.
You're in the States. That's 05 in Japan. Sorry. 05.
Yeah, that's pretty old, man. That's getting on up there.
Yeah.
That's almost in play retro territory.
Well, usually you count like end of life as well, right? Which was 2013. Just wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
So, plus they kept making them after that. So, yeah, I don't know.
Right, like, I don't even consider the last ones to even be consoles. Those Super Slims with the slide door, those don't even exist in my head.
Yeah, we're in a weird time. Although there's 30 years from now, someone's going to look back on the Series X, PS5, and go, man, remember those? And maybe they'll be the last pieces of hardware we made like this. I don't know, but it's going to be a weird look back, and we'll be dead. You and I will be dead. So.
Yeah. But the story, well, the moral of the story is, I rolled the dice on the Facebook Marketplace and a PS3. I have a PS3 and it did function. It is going to be some work and I'm going to put it back together and we're going to see if we got a good PS3 and if I salvage and save something and someone from a house fire, I hope. I wouldn't think so, though, because it's still motor oil. I mean, I don't know how that would really, because, you know, that's pretty resistant to heat, right? That's the whole purpose.
Motor oil, it's okay.
But if it caused contacts, I guess somewhere, I guess there could be a short that could make some problems.
Crude oil in crude form, I think, is ignitable, but you have to do a lot to ignite it, whereas gas, refined gas is way more like, boom, let's go, combustible. So I think you're probably okay.
But the point was, I wasn't leaving that crap. I wasn't leaving that plugged in the house.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Now, on the other tip, John and SC, who's a listener, and his family, they were nice enough to put a Wii U on loan with me. They live fairly close to me. And so we met up and I picked it up. So thank you for John and SC and family for that Wii U loan. We're gonna do some stuff.
I have a Wii U. Should I do something with my Wii U? What should I do with it?
Absolutely. Oh man, yeah, you could do some. You can do some soft modding. And there's some things I want to try. There's a couple of things I want to try. No hard mod stuff. Okay. But just soft mod.
All right. Yeah. I didn't hate that console. I liked it.
I didn't either. It didn't sell well. I actually liked it as well, but for some reason, it fell at a bad time for me as far as gaming goes. Mm. I just wasn't gaming as much at that time.
I remember that. I remember it was a bit of a slower period for you. I agree.
But for some reason, so I had one. Nobody was playing with it, so I sold it. Regrets. Well, I have a few.
You have a few. Well, we'll see what comes out of all of that. In the meantime, we have this to discuss.
Shall we play a game?
Brian, have you heard of retro mini consoles? Have you heard of those?
I've heard of retro mini consoles as well as retro classic consoles. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to be switching those words in and out a lot, mini and classic, because that's the two names they've given these things.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that they haven't all just, well, I don't, maybe it isn't, but it's a little strange that they all just keep using different words, and it kind of depends on who you are. But we're talking everything from the NES Classic, the SNES Classic, the C64 Mini, PlayStation Classic, or PS1 Mini, some people call it, Sega Genesis Mini, the upcoming Sega Genesis 2 Mini, or there right now it's the Mega Drive 2. Because it's only in Europe at the moment. But among others, there's a bunch of other stuff Atari did back in the day. Neo Geo has one out in 2017 that I hate and makes me mad. I wish they'd do a new one.
It does make me mad, too. I'm so glad to hear it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that because that thing annoys me.
I put it in the also list just because it pissed me off.
Yeah, I want to own that device. I really do, but I don't want it in the form it's in. It's a stupid format.
All these rest of these are consoles, and they decided to go with the arcade Neo Geo instead of the what they call the home console version of that. It was something else. Anyway, I don't know why they had to do the arcade form factor. That's dumb.
It's too small. It's just like annoying to me. And all you needed to do is make it look like the console or the arcade cabinet. Fine, I don't care. But let me plug that into my TV and use it like normal. And you kind of can with this, but it's just not the same. Yeah, yeah. Like, give me the home Neo Geo, put some CD games on there from the Neo Geo CD, put a ton of Neo Geo classics on there. I'm buying your console. I'll buy it now. Buy it right now. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to all that. And you're going to hear this and go.
Was it the AES system or what was the Neo Geo?
I don't remember. The home one, my friend had one, and I didn't want to pay that much. It was $600 for that thing or something.
Yeah. I would have preferred that format over the arcade, but maybe I wasn't the right target audience. Anyway, I didn't feel like it really fit in with our definition of the retro mini classic consoles, which are basically any console replica that is basically one half the size of the original. This is pretty much what all the specs are, is half the size of the original. Has 720p HDMI hookups and usually connects through a micro USB connection. And that's pretty much what most of the main ones that we're going to talk about.
For power, you mean, right? The
The power, yeah. Sorry, or the power or the hookup for the firmware upgrades and the hacks and all that kind of stuff.
The hacking. Hacking.
Oh, we're going to talk about the hacking.
We'll talk about the hacking.
I hacked all of them.
The least hackable on this list, in my opinion, is that PlayStation 1. It might be easy to hack, but there's just really no point.
No. You are it is the most complicated one to hack just because of all the steps involved. But once you get it modified, it's pretty simple, but there's a lot of steps. That's how it is.
All right.
A lot of steps.
Let's talk about Nintendo first. I feel like in a little bit of a way, in terms of the big, hot, cool thing to buy way of getting one of these and having it come directly from the platform maker. Because prior to this, it was like, hey, here's a weird looking joystick that plugs into your TV and plays a bunch of old games we licensed. That was about all you had up till now. And then the whole hacker freaking ROM scene. And that was it, really. Nintendo had their virtual console and they had other ways to play some of their older games. Certainly the Switch does now. But nobody was doing anything official. And I feel like this opened the floodgates a little bit, don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, actually, I've done a deep, deep dive this week on just that subject, because that's what I thought, too. I thought that I knew the beginning of the story. I thought the beginning of the story was the NES Classic Edition. I was incorrect because I thought, okay, officially licensed thing that are in a mini format. And that's when I had found this thing. I don't know if you remember this from last week.
Oh, look at that.
That Sega Genesis at games officially licensed, officially has 40 official licensed Sega games on here, plus 40 games nobody knows about, and is in a small form factor. And you'd find these at the checkout counters of, Walgreens, Bed Bath & Beyond, just about any place. And these things almost ruined the market before it even got started. And I think that's where Nintendo came in and made a course correction. Here is our story again, but in mini form, because there's a market out there. Nintendo saw that market and said, hey, the price point's not bad, but everything out there has quality control issues. We can make it better, just as inexpensive, and do well with it.
When did that come out? What was the year?
This was 2012. So this was 2012, and what a piece of crap this thing is. It doesn't have the qualifier of what we stuck with, which is the HDMI hookups. It's just got a composite video and audio to plug in. And by the time we got to 2016, most of us didn't have this on our smart TVs. Most of us were using, just HDMI.
Yeah, it all converted by then. I would argue it converted right before that. Like, I don't know. That seems like they were behind.
When they released that thing. A lot of TVs still carried it on there, but it was a pain to hook up and everything else. And this also has its own little, you know, power plug. And so you can't interface with this thing at all. And so the hacking community on this first generation isn't there. Yeah. And so, yeah.
That was a piece of poo, basically. I mean, it was right. And that's at Games, by the way, the people that make it hard to get Ms. Pac-Man on anything. Same people.
We've been talking a lot about this trash company.
Yeah.
I really have found a way to loathe these guys.
I don't like them either.
Maybe they've actually done better in more recent years, but they almost destroyed Sega, and Sega almost let them.
Bastards.
And but this story's gonna have a happy ending, so we can move back.
All right,
get
so
back
ignore,
to the NES.
Ignore that ugly thing. Instead, back right. in 2016, you could buy an NES Classic Edition, aka NES Mini, for right. $60 at launch. And by gum, that's what I did. Although, you know what? Now that I think about it, I think somebody bought mine and surprised me with it.
I remember this because I got lucky, and I remember you did. You had trouble, as lots of my friends had trouble getting this. I got super lucky. These things went on pre-order, and I was trying to get one on GameStop's website because that was one of the places you could do them. There's a lot of buzz. This was around holiday time, 2016. Everybody was excited about it. They really wanted it. The price point was just too freaking delicious to imagine, and everybody was doing it. And I was on the website, couldn't get one. I had to leave, so I pulled up the GameStop app on my phone. And I couldn't find the page for it, so I did a search using their little search function, and it took me to a page that wasn't supposed to be indexed, and it wasn't published. And I was able to secure a pre-order.
Yeah.
And they honored that pre-order.
Oh, wow.
And I was one of the lucky few that I knew that got one
well
of the
done.
NES Classics across the and it never worked again. I never got that system never worked again, but it did that one time. It worked in my favor.
Oh, good. I was really happy with the price point at the time. I thought that was a really good place to put that price, which is weird for Nintendo. They like to gouge you usually. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought $60 felt good.
I was going back and reading some articles, and you remember Phil's Ame. How do you say it?
Fils-Aimé.
You
know, Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Phil's, there you go. I always call him Reggie.
Reggie. That's his first name. Go ahead. Reggie's good.
Yeah, Reggie. So back when this was coming out, when they were coming out with the SNES, he went back and talked about the release of the NES and why they didn't make more. But he told the Financial Times in an interview that it made manufacturing suggestions based on how poorly other retro style consoles had sold for other companies. It also had to be priced at around $80 or less to stay clear of the other Nintendo hardware like the 2DS and 3DS. So they were very apprehensive because of things like Sega taking a chance with At Games, Atari by name only at this point, taking a chance with these small systems. And that's when they saw that market there. And that's the reason why the price point was so low. And then they found out they could actually go a little bit higher. And they did with the SNES.
Yeah, they could have easily gone higher. And they did. You're right. They came out with the NES or Super NES Classic later. And when I say later, it was only a year. I remember that was like year on year, and you could get almost 8 months apart is all, something like that. It was pretty close.
It was very short.
$80 at launch. Got one of those. Also came with two controllers, slightly longer cable. Let's talk about some of the games real quick. The NES Classic had 30, is it? Hold on.
Yeah, the NES Classic had, I thought it was 40. It only came with one controller.
There it is, 40.
And it only came with one controller. That's one of the reasons why it was cheaper. And they saved a lot of money on cables, apparently, because it was only like 3 foot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was
tiny.
It was a short cable.
Yeah, it sucked. People complained. Yeah. And if you're not going to do it wireless, you got to give us some cable room. And they didn't do that. And then with the SNES version or the SNES one the year later, that did have longer cables. Still not long enough, in my opinion, but better.
No, still, better. I think they were like 5 foot on the Super NES. But they made a lot of improvements. The NES, like I said, you could buy extension cables. I think I bought those even before my pre-order came in because I had read the reviews. And I was like, oh, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
And I went ahead and ordered a second controller. It was official.
Yeah.
And the one thing I didn't like about the SNES and the NES, they both, and I guess this is gimmicky, but you could plug in these controllers because the ports they have aren't USB ports for these controllers.
They're proprietary.
They're the nunchuck ports that you plug into the back of the, you know, onto the Wii.
It's like they had a whole bunch of female and male freaking nunchuck controller connectors still laying around some freaking factory floor, and they were like, you know what we could do? Yeah. We'll put these in the Mini.
And it was
so weird.
It was part of, and they were trying to tie it in with the WiiWare stuff they were getting ready to, you know, to maybe launch a little later on. But, you know, you were supposed to be able to plug that into your nunchuck and use it that way. And I'm like, oh, get out of here with this crap.
Get out of here. Get out of my face with this crap is what I would say. The games themselves are notable in that they're all pretty popular, especially on the NES side. And I haven't heard too many complaints about what's there, what isn't, but very little differences between Japan and here. In fact, we got the better deal, I think. We got things like Bubble Bobble. They didn't get Castlevania II, Simon's Quest, Donkey That's Kong crap. Jr., Final Fantasy. Although we didn't get three, they got three. So there's a bunch of like weird stuff missing depending on which territory you're in. But
they didn't get Kid Icarus.
Yeah, they didn't. Japan got no Kid Icarus, but we did.
They got open tournament golf, though. Congratulations.
Thank goodness. Someone got open tournament golf. We didn't get Solomon's Key, which is actually pretty cool, but I also think that may have been a Japanese exclusive. And who knows? Some of these are like tied up in rights fights and who owns what and who can resell whatever.
Who can distribute in what market, right? We're going to get to region locking one day, but we got Punch-Out and Star Tropics. Japan did not. That
we got Tecmo Bowl. Because we like football.
Look at that. Japan, we win.
Japan don't care about no American football. Why would they want that? Anyway, it's a good collection. Totally worth plugging that in and playing it. The SNES game collection is controversial.
It is controversial, but I will say I went through the list of these games this week, and every single game I was like, Yes, would play all the way down through the whole thing.
I think for the most part,
give me your caveats.
It's mostly true. I think there's some things missing more than the things that are there. It's also less games. There are only 21 built in, which is a lot less than 40 for the previous one.
I think it was 30 on the first one, then 21 on the first, but you had to unlock Star Fox 2.
Yeah, Star Fox 2, which was never released anywhere, and there's a reason why, by the way. It's not very good. but it was previously unreleased, and that thing's there. Anyway, that thing was near the end of its development in 96, and Nintendo hadn't said anything about where it was. They were just like, we got a new Star Fox coming, and then nothing.
Yeah.
No official word about the cancellation. And then bam, here it is after all these rumors, all these years later, you could play it. But anyway, I just think they could have put more on here. And I don't mean a video game called Moron. I mean, more games on here. That's what I mean. And,
we've talked about a lot of these games. We've talked about Contra 3, The Alien Wars, Donkey Kong Country. I want to play Earthbound so bad. Final Fantasy, everybody knows those. Kirby Superstar, and Dream Course. I mean, there's just so many things. Mega Man X. I mean, I could play all these games through completion. Secret of Mana. I mean, these are all great games.
No, they're all great. Here's the thing, though. I think this console at $80 is actually worth it for these titles alone. I would get it for Super Castlevania 4. I would get it for Super Mario Kart. I think RPG is really good, too, as well. Super Mario World's one of the greatest platformers of all time. And Super Metroid. Even that brief list, worth the price of admission. This thing was $80. Yeah. Totally worth it. And there's a lot more than that. You got your Donkey Kongs and your Contras and stuff we've talked about on the show a bunch of times. Kirby's Dream Court, or no, Kirby Superstar. That's the one I like.
Yeah.
Really good Kirby game on there. Street Fighter II Turbo Hyper Fighting. This is one of the greatest games, if not the greatest fighting game of all time. It's a good deal. It's a good deal.
Yeah,
Yoshi's Island. Man. So good.
And they did a bit because they knew this time around. This time around, now they have an idea of what's going on in this market, right? Because they've already had a little test run. They saw how the things went. You know, could they turn it around? And the answer was yes, they could turn it around. There's a couple of things I don't like about this thing, though. I don't like how this one, you know, they had this fake door cover that makes it look like the original ports for the controllers, which you plug in. Yeah. And like you said, you know, the cables, it's not long. It might be 4 foot. It's
okay. But for people with 20, you know, 50 inch TVs who want to sit back a little, it's bad.
Yeah. And I guess the idea is that in 2017, that we all have, you know, really long HDMI cables. So, I mean, you could offset everything because you could put it on the couch next to you, but that's not how I want this thing.
No.
One of the pleasures of the minis. And you may be thinking, why are you guys even talking about minis? Minis are stupid. Maybe you're kind of, you know, you're in the minis are stupid camp. And I would argue that is the use case that's so important here, because here is a device that plugs into my modern TV that doesn't require me to have any special adapters. I just plug the stupid thing in, and I don't have to have my carts or anything. I don't have to have no carts, no nothing, no internet connectivity, none of that trash. It's just a simple,
single-purpose
device.
Here's the problem. This is what people do. People say, oh, I could do all this on a freaking Raspberry Pi 3, do all my own things, right. Or I could have, you know, this, got this on a computer. I got more games. I got 1,000 games, and they're all running great. I get it, okay? But here we have a retailable, gettable, affordable, legal way to get these things, and not only get them, but get them on these rad, well-made, well-replicated little console boxes so that it scratches all our little nostalgia boners everybody's got around these things, right? And all of that with these like legit controllers, not some third-party knockoffs.
Yeah.
Plug it into your TV and go. Like, I think I don't know how you not like that. Who doesn't like this?
I know. At this price point, and not to mention, have you heard the menu music for the Super NES?
It's amazing.
Any of these consoles.
It's amazing.
Do we have like a clip of that?
I didn't capture it, but I'll do it right now. But it's really good.
But all this stuff just gives me, you know, the extreme Nintendo. And look at this thing. I mean, it's super small.
It's freaking adorable, is what it is.
I can put it on a shelf somewhere. Like when I get through playing with it, I can feel proud about displaying it.
That's
unlike,
right.
Look, I really love my original SNES.
Yeah.
But with all the games and all the controllers that I have with that thing, it's a freaking disaster to look at.
I know. I mean, it's not cool. I mean, these are cool. These are self-contained and rad looking. Okay, here's that menu music. Check this out.
That's the store. That's which store is that?
This is Super NES. Super NES.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's so good.
Oh, can we just do this the rest of the show? This is gonna be good.
Yeah. Let's just do this because Nintendo knows how to make quality.
I love that. It's an amazing theme. I don't know what the menu. Let's see. What is the menu on the?
Is it like the 3DS? What is? I've heard that music before somewhere else. It might be repurposed, but
here's the classic version.
I just love it.
Let's try this one. The NES one. This is that menu. Any chance for Nintendo to make like menu music? I'm in.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Because they do this better than anybody. I will tell you what they don't do very well. The promo videos for both, essentially they're commercials, but the 2016 and 2017 promotional videos Nintendo put together for both of these devices to sell them are lame. They're lame. Like they don't say anything. It's all visual and it's a bunch of words on screen. Nobody does anything. Whereas the Sega one, what I played at the beginning of the show, has got awesome, ridiculous, terrible voiceover and it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you heard this. Hold on. Where is this part?
Genesis does.
Yeah, Nintendo's always kind of been a little straight laced with that kind of stuff. Even their radical. The Super NES commercial you played earlier, it has an area. It has like radical. It says radical on it. But it's all subdued, like in this, like a badge or something. It's like, here's something very straight-laced, and here's a sticker. Boom.
Yep.
Radical.
But you know what's funny is they were kind of doing callbacks to the old war. They were like, we're going to say a bunch of stuff that would piss off Sega people. And the Sega people are like, we're just barely going to say Nintendo. We're going to say Genesis does. We're not going to say what Nintendo don't. But we want to, and you know we want to, and you can feel it. You know we want to fight. Let's fight.
Yeah, that was part of the appeal, right? So like I said, it's this whole thing. It's the story of the 80s and 90s being retold again in miniature form in so many true ways. This all got started, like you had mentioned at the top of the show. This all got started because, first of all, technology had improved a lot over 20 years from the time we saw the Atari 2600, and then we started seeing those little handheld, we saw controllers with built-in games, right? Mm-hmm. And that made sense at the time. It's like, oh, yeah, you want to make something modern and you want to sell it. You wouldn't make a whole console that would not only need to be half the size of the old console when you can just fit it all inside of a controller and sell it that way. That was limited thinking.
That made then, sense, right? It really did.
It makes you were sense.
Like, but it all fit on here. We don't need any other room for it. You have one cable to your TV. Like, I get the business thinking, but they were wrong.
It did not appeal to the nostalgic feeling. So here comes along Atari veteran Kurt Vindel. Back in 2004, he had a company called Legacy Engineering Group. He's been big on preservation of Atari and their whole history. And they started developing the Atari Flashback 1 and 2. The first one ran on a NES on a chip. And so it's kind of a Famiclone. And then later on, in the second version, it was a hardware-specific chip. It's called an Atari on a chip. Imagine that. And he worked really hard on it. And he did the first one like in 10 months. And then somewhere along the way, at Games, purchased the Atari Flashback series from the Legacy Engineering Group. And they moved forward with this. And that's when it really turned into a shit show until Nintendo showed up. Yeah. So just like echoes of the 80s, Atari comes in here. They got a good idea.
Yeah.
And then they let it flounder. And then NES has to come in and clean
it all up. Yep.
Clean
they
come up.
In, they wave their Atari wiener around and Nintendo goes, nope, we have a better way. And then Sega says we can do that too. And then all hell breaks loose again. Let's talk for a second about the C64 Mini. The Commodore 64, very common computer in people's homes back in the day.
Yes.
And as you may remember.
Especially in the North America.
Yeah, you may remember it had a lot of game support, a lot of different games to play on that thing. And
a long life.
Long life.
10 years worth of gaming.
Yep. 36 years later we are now, or so, a couple of years now. I don't know. That was four years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been 2018. It would have been 34 years then. We're almost 40 years on this thing. Anyway, the C64, if you were lucky to have one in your house, was rad. So they said, hey, why don't we make a little version of that? Now, that's weird because basically the Commodore 64 was notable from a platform standpoint as being basically a keyboard with all the computing in it. And so that's what they made. They made a tiny one of those.
Yeah.
And you attach a controller to it and you play 64 games built into this thing.
And that controller is not just any controller. That controller you see there is the same controller we had seen before all the mini revolutions came about, because you used to could get that controller with the built-in 64 games.
Right.
Way back before all this even started. Yeah. And so once we're going to have a couple of people on this list that don't really exist anymore, only in name. So when we talk about Atari, we're not talking about Atari. Yeah. When we're talking about the C64, we're not talking about Commodore.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, in name only, in preservation only. Mm-hmm. How many games this one came with? How many games would you expect for a C64 Mini that came out for
$69.99? I expect 64 games is what I expect.
64 games. Why they didn't sell this for $64.99? Come on.
Yeah, no kidding. What did they sell for? How much was it?
It was $69.99.
So, why didn't they do that? Whatever. I guess you round up, make more money. But
yeah, right. Are we really going to lose $5 to be clever? Yeah, I don't think so.
It's kind of annoying. a lot of cool games on here, though. Do you remember like Summer Games, Winter Games, Hysteria, Hunter's Moon, Boulder Dash. California Games, I already mentioned. Let's see. Chips Challenge was awesome. I don't see Hard Hat Mac on here, so that kind of pisses me off.
No. I didn't see that there either.
But some pretty good games. And if you were a C64 fan, you're in heaven with this thing.
And not only that, you can actually it's got BASIC in it. You can actually, it uses the VICE. We haven't talked about this yet either. This one actually uses the VICE emulation, which is a common C64 open source. It has BASIC. So you can go in there and you can program your games like you used to do back in the day. Or you can load up some of these games through a carousel interface. Or if you're really old school, you can kick it over into a keyboard mode. You can plug a real keyboard into this thing. The keys on this thing do not work.
No,
so if you
they're just molded plastic. Work. Yeah, they don't do anything. Or those notorious function keys. They don't do shit on this. They just are there.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they did go back like 2 years after this or a year after this and did the C64 Maxi, which was basically just a C64 with a full-size keyboard. with basically the inner components of what we're already looking at here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it, and if you need a keyboard, you can use the joystick to use the on-screen keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
My God, that's infuriating.
Yeah. It's yes, it is infuriating. That's a good way of putting it. It's very infuriating. Yeah. I also hate the joystick, but that's what they had. So
That's what you had. And it made sense because they used to sell that joystick similar to that back in the day. And so it made sense. And
sure,
this is probably the one I've used the least out of all my minis, though, because
I love the games on here.
It is such a complex, such a complex ecosystem, the C64, because like these other ones, these other consoles, I could load up my own ROMs. I could hack it and load up other ROMs. With this one, these 64 games are, for the most part, don't use much keyboard input. And when they do, you can quickly get around it, for the most part, with the joystick.
Yeah.
It can be a little complicated. I played the Winter Games or something. It must have been. I played one of them. It was a lot of fun. And you have to, you do weightlifting. Mm-hmm. I really like that one.
That's the Summer Games, I think.
I can't remember which one it was. But I had a lot of fun with that one. But then I hopped onto some other ones, and I was like, oh, this is asking me all kinds of questions, and I've got to type in responses, and I've got to use this joystick, and I'm not cool with that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. But
let's compare real quick here. Let's compare the music for the menu on the C64.
Oh, yeah. Mini. This is actually kind of cool music.
So here you go.
On the C64.
Enjoy. Whoops. Pretty good.
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, it's no, it's no Nintendo hold music, but it's pretty sweet.
Pretty good. Pretty good considering. I mean, I'm not all of them are going to be knocks out of the park, but I think that one's all
right. Right. I like it, though. I like it a lot. I could listen to it for a pretty good while before I'm like, okay, it's time to load something up.
Now, huge.
Starting to get on my nerves.
Big hat off here to Brian, because I did not get on the train and get one of these right away. And but they're not available anymore, as far as I know.
You can
get them used.
Yeah, not being distributed through any market that's being manufactured.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And Brian had an extra one, so he sent me that extra one, and now I have one, and I'm really glad I do, because I really like that device quite a bit.
I like it a lot. It's got two USB ports. You can it's got that power micro USB on the back. Mm-hmm. And it's got a little power button, and you can plug it into your computer. This is the one exciting thing about the C64 that they got over everybody else. And it's probably because of the licensing stuff. The C64, you can download the latest firmware for this thing, and it'll allow you to load your C64 ROMs onto a USB stick and put it right in there. No mod needed. You just
run them.
You just load up your ROMs.
They don't give a shit. I can play that hard hat.
If you had the front ROM, that's on.
Good. That's right. That hard hat Mac game I want to play, no problem. I can play it on here.
Yeah.
Just have to go through the work to do it.
That's it. All you got to do is put it on a thumb drive, throw it in your N64, and then figure out how the hell to load it up.
Now, we'll talk about this kind of
device.
Yeah, that stuff's hard. If you weren't around during that era, you don't know. Yeah. You don't know how easy it was. These days, somebody gives you an image file and says, here, stick this SD card in a thing, and then boom, you're done. There's still some hacking to be done. And when we're done with the main stuff here, we will talk about the hacking scene around these devices.
Yeah.
And how that's going.
And why you'd want to hack it. Because I haven't hit hard on some of the negatives on the NES Classic and Super NES.
Yeah.
But we will. And that's the reason why you have to do some hacking.
Yeah, and some of the hacking is not even about making it so you can have extra games. Some of it is just quality of life stuff with the consoles.
Quality of life.
Yep. We'll get to that. All right, let's talk about the... I'm actually going to switch these around. Let's talk about the Genesis Mini. Well, we'll do them in order. We'll do them in order. Let's do them in chronological order. PlayStation Classic, aka PS1 Mini, came out in 2018 for $100. This is the highest price point, but I would also argue the biggest dud among them. For many reasons.
You wouldn't have to argue very hard with that.
No, I don't think there are many people out there that would argue with me. It is a problematic launch. And anybody who is excited about this is either no longer excited or has hacked it to bits, or who knows. But Sony put out a press release, and they were like, well, we're getting in on this too. And everybody was like, oh, sweet. That's great. I love my PlayStation.
We're 2 years late to the game, but here we come.
Yep. And that's fine. Who cares about the timing? That didn't bother me. What bothered me is the half-assed translation on all this stuff. It used an older emulator. It was unreliable. The stuff in the games themselves ran poorly, worse than they did on your PS1, because they just weren't optimized. There's no optimization on this thing. And the selection of games kind of sucked.
They put PAL and NTSC games on the same device that they were selling in different markets. And so, PAL runs at 50 frames per second. And so it has to, the thing has to freaking try to make it run at 60, which is going to make everything seem slow.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus the game list just kind of blew. It was 20 games. Here's what you got. Yeah. Battle Arena Toshinden. You know how I feel about that game now.
Yeah. We talked about that.
That game's not great. Next up, you got Cool Borders 2. You got Destruction Derby, Final Fantasy, 7's a great game. Let's see what else. We did not get the Ark the Lad games or Armored Core. Those went to Japan, so that sucks that we didn't get those.
You suck.
G Darius and Gradius Gaiden all went to Japan. Yeah. Not here. Grand Theft Auto 1, but the PAL version of it.
Nobody's really playing that.
Super shoddy version of that game. It's not good.
Yeah.
Intelligent Cube, cool game.
Unless you're PAL.
Jumpin' Flash. Again, Jumpin' Flash is on here. Amazing game. Guess what? PAL version. F off.
PAL. Thanks a lot, Sony.
Yeah, thanks. Metal Gear Solid. Great game. Good version on here. Nothing wrong with that. Mr. Driller, Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey. PAL version for some unknown ungodly reason. Parasite Eve. Ridge Racer Type 4. Rayman. Resident Evil Director's Cut. PAL version again. Revelations Persona. Saga Frontier. Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. Siphon Filter. Tekken 3. PAL version. Fighting games should not be ever in PAL version.
PAL!
Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, PAL version. Twisted Metal, Wild Arms, and Z or XI. I don't know what that was. Some Japan-only thing.
Yeah. That's a popular.
Anyway, it's just mixed. It's not great. Not concluded here, by the way. None of the Wipeouts. Those should have absolutely been on here. Wipeout 1 and 2, what are you doing? Mortal Kombat 3, or 2 for that matter. Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the Dragon, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, Tomb Raider, Parappa the Rapper, Gran Turismo. Shall I go on? Symphony of the Night, no Castlevania. Are you kidding me? Oh my lord!
You've nailed it.
It's not great.
I'm really mad that they missed out.
How hackable is it? Is it hackable? This device?
It's actually pretty hackable. Let's see what the project name is. So I meant to pull that in our show notes. Anyway. There is a hack for it. It is not the same as the Hackchi, which you use for the other devices that we're going to talk about today, except for the Commodore, which needs no hacking. Yeah. This one uses a hack where you have to, it's so dumb how you have to do it. You have to format a thumb drive with FAT32, mm-hmm. name it Sony. You then have to plug it into the second USB plug port, and then you have to power it on after you've done all your prep work and put your hack stuff on the USB. And then at that point in time, you can load it up and it'll automatically back up everything on the machine. And then, and you have to take it out and then put those files somewhere safe, because if you ever need to go back, that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Lose those. Because you can't plug this thing in. Unlike the other consoles, this is a little more powerful. This is a little more, it's got a little more oomph. And so, unless you're plugging your micro USB into a powered USB, it's not going to give you power. You're not going to come on. You're going to have to, you're not going to just be to plug into the, a non 5-amp
port. It's so anyway, it requires more power because that thing's got an ARM quad core freaking thing. 1 gig of RAM, DDR3 RAM rather, 16 gig of EM, of flash memory. Like this is pretty nice stuff under the hood. It's not bad.
Exactly. It's got the most potential. It had the most potential. It was also the most expensive, and it was the most disappointing because of that. But yeah, once you load the hack in there, then you can bypass the horrible. They use the open source PSX emulator for it, but they used a version that was not optimized for this, and so they had a lot of issues. So if you load up, if you load up RetroArch or anything like that in here and put some core in, you can play anything. You don't have to play just PlayStation games. This thing will play all the other systems together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real good solution. Like if you're thinking, because this is one of the things I was wanting to talk about before we get done, hopefully, the RetroPie scene. RetroPies have gotten very scarce and very hard to find because everybody wants RetroPie because they're beautiful and wonderful and easy and straightforward. These consoles are one of the few minis that you can find for a reasonable price, $79.99 still, because even at $79.99 and with everything else being out of the market, people are still like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's not there's not even like some artificial scarcity or
project.
It. You just
Project Eris. That's what it is. KT Data and the chat room guy is Project Eris is the name of the hack stuff that works from the Sony. But I actually have a plan for this. I took this thing apart, did some measurements on it, and I kind of wanted to see if I could fit it in a Raspberry Pi 4 case because I can't find any Raspberry Pi 4s for any reasonable price.
Yeah.
And I've got a nice sweet case.
Yeah. That's what you want.
That, I believe this is the Famicom version I got, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. So I've got this other little nice little case. I have to link to this on the some of the show notes and stuff so you guys can see how cool this is if I can get it out. But it's a Raspberry 4 case. It looks just like all the other mini stuff. Man, I mean, there's so much. There's a huge argument. You know, you can't argue with people when they say that the Raspberry Pi really could just do all this. It's just a lot of work. It's,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like a ton of work, but it's a lot more work than just going to pick up.
Yeah, it's not as simple as just grabbing it off the shelf.
But I mean, it's got cool stuff like you can eject the tray from this thing, and there's slots that you can put SD cards into. You wouldn't plug them in, but you can store them there.
Sure.
So I mean,
sure, why not?
There's all kinds of cool stuff. But I think the form factor will fit in one of these. So I'm gonna play around with that. But yeah,
one tiny note about the PlayStation. That's the one that I didn't get. The reason I didn't because the reviews are so bad.
Yeah.
I could looking at it now. I could have one delivered at 7 a.m. tomorrow with free shipping at $78. But I'm still not like I want that. Here's what's funny. I want that device for one reason and one only. Because it's just a rad little tiny version of it. I don't even want to plug it in.
Yeah. It's. Okay, so it's
somebody send me theirs. Look, if you're sick of yours and you're like, man, I don't even use this, tell me how much you want for it. Let me know. Let's go something under a new one, and I'll get it. I just want to have a tiny PlayStation. That's what I want.
The hack on this, too, is complicated because you have to keep the USB with the hack plugged in because it basically runs from the USB. And so that takes up one of your controller ports. And there's some of the better games on here are two-player games. Especially if you're wanting to play some of the other systems. So you have to get a little adapter for the back. Unlike a Raspberry Pi, most of those come with Wi-Fi or some kind of network connectivity. These do not. But you can get Bluetooth adapters and Wi-Fi adapters and all that kind of stuff. And it'll all work with this Project Eris. So it's a good starting point if you can't locate a Raspberry Pi right now. If you're like, oh, God, I want to work on a project right now. I want to make my own mini. You could do it with this. You could do it one of these PlayStation minis.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want one.
You could do it.
KT Data in the chat got his for $20 when they were clearing them out. And now I'm annoyed.
That's how much I think I paid for mine. I think I paid like 20-something bucks.
Because
I was super excited when I saw the announcement, and then I started reading reviews, and I saw the game lineup, and I was like, that's not me.
It's not worth $100.
And I waited. I think I paid like $20.
A third of a PS5 to pay for if you don't like what games are in it. You know what I mean? Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm going to have to keep my eyes open for a deal because I still want
one. Like I said, right now, the market like it is, that's about as cheap as you're going to get for a mini form factor type of system for if you want to do some kind of retro pie kind of thing.
Now let's talk about the one that I've loved since the day I picked it up, and that is the Sega Genesis Mini. You're gonna hear a little Sega buzz today.
The best Mini.
It's the best Mini. The reason it's the best Mini is they go full Sega with this thing. You heard the commercial earlier. That's part of it. But the games. It's a really good lineup. It's a games list that you would expect to see in a collection like this. No weird performance problems. It's cute and it's small. It's the original Genesis. So you're looking at that ugly one with the red stripe thing, but it's, you know, very nostalgic or whatever.
High definition graphics.
Yep. It's got the 3-button controllers, which the thing shipped with. Some people wanted the 6-button, but I think they held back on that because now we have news of something coming up. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I think for this one, which is $80, so it's a little on the Well, I shouldn't say higher end. It's the same as the SNES classic cost. This one also just, I don't know what it is. Something about it feels legitimate and more like a, somebody shrunk, honey, I shrunk the console kind of about it.
Right.
It's hard to explain, but it's really, really well done. Oh, I haven't heard the, you know what? I haven't heard the menu there, the menu music. Let's see. Genesis Mini menu
music.
Here, let's play this real quick. I haven't actually heard this in a while. Whoops, hold on.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I used to let this run, like, before I would start my streams and stuff.
Yeah, this is Genesis as hell, this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Let me skip ahead a little. It's so Genesis, dude.
It's so Genesis, man.
Now, the good news about that device is it is still available, I think. Can I still get this?
I don't know if they're still making any unless they're making them in Brazil. And you have to get to that story one day, too. If you ever, we got to get into the whole Sega and Brazil story one day on Play Retro. If you don't know about that, it's going to be a lot weirdness. Of fun talk with that.
Okay, take it back. Genesis Mini out of stock everywhere, although you can get them for like $200. But see, these are actually increased in value.
they have.
Part of it is the scarcity, and part of it is you can't buy them new anymore. But buy them through normal channels, but you can absolutely do that. In fact, right now this says, this is someone selling direct, $192.46 for an unopened one. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you didn't get your hands on one of those, what you're going to want to make sure you do is not miss the Genesis 2 model, which isn't even officially announced for North America yet, but other markets are getting the Mega Drive, which is what we call the Genesis here. They're getting Mega Drive 2, which is the updated Model 2 of the device, again, shrunk down, and it will include a bunch more games, including some Sega CD games. And the 6-button controller. I'm 100% getting this when it happens.
There's no doubt. As soon as this goes on pre-order, I'm heading to GameStop app and I'm going to try to get it. So this story started with Sega effing up, and this story is going to end with Sega redeeming themselves. They made some really bad deals with At Games. Mm-hmm. They were desperate. You know, they kind of had to get out of the console business. And so this was a chance for them to redeem themselves, and they didn't rush this product.
Yeah.
They took a look. They were still working all the way up to 2017. They were still working with At Games and At Games had just released in 2017 a Sega Genesis HD that had HDMI capabilities that was made by At Games.
Yeah.
And of course, that there's is people love hate it, but mostly hate it. But they teamed up. Sega did. They teamed up with M2, who went in and just everything was just meticulously done, including like all the way from the emulation, which is just really, really good. I won't say flawless, but very good. And the controller, they actually had the original controller designer come back in and make the controller modern from the original schematics.
Oh man, that's awesome!
And so it's just amazing. And the music that you just heard earlier,
yeah.
I mean, it's just everything was just high quality, super high quality stuff. And so I am so excited to see, because maybe it's desperation, you know, because everybody else, you're like, Nintendo's still in the console making biz, Sony's still in the console making biz, and Sony's like, I mean, it's Sega's like, hey, we could do this in a small form factor and rule the world.
That's right. Now, I'm showing
this market.
I'm showing the chat room a commercial for the announcement of basically a trailer of the Mega Drive 2, which, again, not confirmed here, but I have a feeling it's coming. It's some kind of wrestling parody. But here's the deal. Here are the confirmed titles. Are you ready for this?
Give me some confirmed, sort of confirmed titles, please.
These are not the final list. This is only the ones that are confirmed so far. So there's more coming. This isn't the
look
the
at limit. That Mega. He's got a console for him.
Sorry, console
video
helmet.
People. We'll have to come back and look at that later.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Not video people.
Yeah, go search for it. Anyway, here's what you got: cartridge titles, Bonanza Brothers, Fantasy Zone. Again, these are Japan titles too, so we don't know if any of these are coming to the U.S. So confirmed as best as we can confirm. Magical Teruto Kun, whatever that is. Shining in the Darkness. Yes. Thunder Force.
Shining.
So Thunder Force 4, which was Lightning Force Quest for the Dark Star. I don't know what that was. That what it was called here. I don't know. Virtua Racing. That's cool. We like that.
Yeah.
We got Mansion of Hidden Souls for the CD titles. Pop Full Mail, another Japan title I've never heard of. Shining Force CD, Sylpheed, and finally Sonic the Hedgehog CD. Are the games confirmed? So we don't know anything about timing here or what's going to happen or any of that. But I am beyond excited because they killed it with this first one, in my opinion.
They killed it. And it's the only one. And I'm showing this to the people in the chat in here on video. It's the only one that I felt compelled to run to Etsy to get an official little, not really official, but this really nice little display thing where I can put my Sega Genesis Mini in the controllers and keep my cables all nice and wrapped up in just pristine condition. Because you know why? Because that's the love they put into it. And as a user, I want to show it the same love. Thank you, Sega and M2, for doing something fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah, look at you with your love. I like it.
With the love. It is just it's injection molded, but you know, that shiny black that just makes this whole thing just really pop. The controller has two spots for the controllers that are kind of staggered up, like a stadium for your controllers. And it's just like, I paid like $24 or something off Etsy. There's a whole bunch of people who make these things. I'm sure there's like some plans out there if you do like injection molding or whatever.
That seems like a great way to do it because right now, if you put that Genesis or even that Super NES up on a table, the HDMI cable that it's connected to will make it do a permanent wheelie. Just does a wheelie the whole time.
You're so right. The HDMI cables are just too heavy.
It's like this.
The HDMI cable that came with those things were really they were really too short. Especially on the NES, considering how short the controller cable.
Yeah, I don't use that at all. I use my own HDMI or reach. Yeah.
Right.
Bastards.
Heavy duty.
Okay, here's, I want to talk about some other mistakes, some missteps. Neo Geo Mini. This was a mistake. The reason I say it's a mistake is they thought what people want, it goes back to your controller full of games thing that seemed sensible. Not what people actually want. They want the nostalgia, not just the games. They want the nostalgia factor, and that does not come in the form of a squat little arcade machine. Like, it's just not the same. This isn't how they played their games back in the day.
Yeah.
This is a shitty way of representing a mini. They should have done, like, the home console device, made a small one. You already know how to do it. It came out you had a whole 2 years to learn from Nintendo, Neo Geo, SNK. You could have done this, and they didn't do it. The controllers are fine. They're you know, legit controllers, but the actual device is this stupid handheld thing, and I hate it.
Yeah, and that's where they fail for me too, because it does not look nice on a shelf. All the rest of these look really nice at half scale. This is not half scale of an arcade machine. This is like 1/16th scale of a of arcade machine, and those joysticks are pointless. One of the things that's nice about most of these other minis is the console itself is half scale, but the controllers are just like the original controllers. So there's no disconnect there. It just makes sense. Oddly enough, at Games makes something called their Legend series, and is actually a full size looking like our Atari Fight Stick that we had there that I have. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a full size top to an arcade. And it's got all the components built in. That's actually been pretty well received, even though at Games is typically they have more misses. They've had a few okay things.
Yeah.
They've managed not to F up everything. How about that?
Yeah.
They've but for the most part, they have some questionable ways, quality especially. Yeah. Their Legend stuff it seems to be okay. And actually, it was on sale back in March, and I missed out on it, and I hated that because I think GameStop had them on sale for like $50 for the smaller one. So that was probably a reasonable price for what you could get.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Another one that we're never going to see, at least I don't think we're going to see it here, is that mini TurboGrafx-16 slash PC engine from NEC Home Electronics, right? That's not happening here.
Yeah, the TurboGrafx and the PC engine, they're both basically the same thing, just different regions.
Yeah, different region. It's like Mega Drive and Genesis, same thing.
Now, the TurboGrafx-16 sold out immediately. I couldn't get one of those. I wanted one. I missed out on it. I couldn't get it. But you can still pick up a PC engine for fairly reasonable prices. I consider reasonable right now in the mini market. If you're paying between $80 to $130, that's reasonable for the scarcity and, you know, the rarity of it. But anything above that, don't.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Probably bad. Not probably. Yeah. Is bad.
Is bad. There's other solutions once you get to that area. You know, this doesn't make sense.
Somebody's milking your wallet teat when they do that.
Yeah, someone is, and NES and Nintendo tried to, they were the first to experience this. This is pre-pandemic. This was 2016. And we were already getting a huge scarcity market because of the potential, the speculation of how well this is going to sell and people scalping it. So, I mean, because they knew it was limited and it just right out of the gate, it was just a disaster.
Yeah. So this is one I think I want.
I hated that I missed another TurboGrafx-16 mini. Like I said, the PC engine is still accessible at a reasonable price, and I'll probably end up picking up one of them as soon as I see something that, as soon as I see an opportunity, I'll probably do that.
Does Konami own something with these guys? Because their branding is all over the mini, but not the old TurboGrafx. It was NEC. Right. I don't know if they bought NEC or they have some connection to them.
That's a good question. I'm looking this up. It's designed by Hudson Soft and sold by NEC.
Yeah. Hudson made the chip, which is crazy. The guys are mostly known for game development. But let's see. TurboGrafx Mini. Here we go. 2019, Konami announced the 2019 Tokyo Game Show, the TurboGrafx Mini 16, dedicated console. So why did it get sold to them? I can't find this. Anyway,
interesting question. I'm with you because, if you go to Konami, it's like Gate. That's where you can read about the PC engine or the TurboGrafx, and they got the core graphics.
They must have bought something.
I'm not familiar with that one at all.
They must have bought some rights or something, but I'm surprised they didn't turn it into a home pachinko machine, those bastards with all their pachinko bullshit.
Of course, I'm on there now, and it says Bandai Namco Entertainment. Okay, that's just everybody who's involved with this. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like, something to do with it.
Hard to say.
The official website's on Konami's website, so I'm assuming that they must have or always have some kind of, I don't know a lot. That's a blind spot for me.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it as well.
TurboGrafx 16 and the PC engine.
The Amiga A500 Mini came out in April of this year. Did you know that?
Yeah, I am down with this, and I'm getting kind of nervous because it's not in my budget right now. It's the one of the more expensive ones. It's like $130 at the top of my of my purchasing allowance for these kind of things. They're still in stock, but are these things going to start getting scarce? I don't know. They're getting pretty decent reviews, $140 on Amazon. I don't think the price is going to go down any. I'm a little bit nervous, but I am kind of excited about that dumbass mouse that comes with it.
I want that mouse. It was that thing was very capable device. The graphics were awesome. It was a computer and it was mostly in Europe, but still, like, I really want one of these. It's not going to happen, though. I don't think I'm going to do it for that amount of money.
I am like, I've been back and forth this whole week with the mini discussion. I'm like, I'm getting it. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I don't need another. What am I going to do? Am I really going to play with it? And I'm like,
probably not.
I want it.
Yeah, I want it, but I'm probably not going to play it.
I don't have no, I think the problem is I don't have any nostalgia. Like, the Genesis is no question. I was like, they could have said 130 and I would have said, it's fine.
Yeah. Charge me.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Charge me. Let's do it.
Well, that's because that's where we live, man. We live with that.
Yeah,
that Genesis was part of our blood growing up.
Yeah.
Like, that thing was an amazing device. I love the Master System before it. I love the fight with Nintendo. I love Nintendo, but I love that fight, man. That fight was great. And except people
kind of
dicks.
And it feels like it's happening all again, except this time, I think Nintendo's going to get, I think Sega's going to get the final blow on the minis because it's going to be really hard at this point to do the next level. N64 gets even more complicated. The Super NES was hard enough to make as a mini because I don't know if you remember, they started using coprocessors in the Super NES. And those usually comes in the carts and stuff. So you had a lot of different potentials for co-processors, and you had to consider, you had to make that, you had to take the consideration when you're doing the emulation, the mappers. And so it gets a lot more complicated. It gets even more complicated when you get to the N64 level. And so I don't know. I can't see that happening soon, if ever.
Yeah.
And you know, Sega Genesis is like, hey, how about a part two?
Yeah, no, you're right. I want, I kind of want this Amiga. I'm not going to lie.
I really want it. I'm telling you, if you end up ordering this, you're dragging me with you.
Am I pulling you over the
edge? If you end up getting this, okay. I'm going to have to get it. There's just no way I can deal with you saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to take my Amiga 8500. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, it's still available. They're making plenty of them. I'm a little surprised Nintendo and Sega haven't kept up stock with their stuff. It seems like they would still be making tons of money. I don't know why they're not doing that.
Yeah. And I've heard people say that this is a fad. The minis are a fad. And I thought a lot about this because it didn't feel right. My intuition said that doesn't seem right. I don't think this is a fad. I consider this the next logical progression of each of these systems.
Yeah.
Like all the way back to an NES, every time you would be midway through the lifespan of a system, you would you run out of your first stock, you might as well redesign it and get a marketing boost by going, oh, now we got the Slim, you know, and it does this, and it's a little bit, you know, more modern looking, you know, we made a little more compact. And this is like what happens to consoles 20 years after everything leaves. After the original launch, 20 years later, suddenly you get to these many things. And I think this is about as small as you can make something that would give you the nostalgic feels. And it's about the smallest form factor you're going
to
get.
I don't want to go any smaller. Like as much as it seems cool to have you could put all of this computing power into something this big. It would be the size of a playing card. Yeah. I think that's maybe too much. Not that I wouldn't want one of those on a shelf. That sounds kind of rad. I like little tiny things. I like big things and tiny things. I like little replicas and great big versions of like big pencils and phones and stuff. I don't know why I like that.
But I think that's why I don't like the arcade scale downs. They're like 1/16th the size. Yeah. That's too small for me. Half size, that's pretty cool. If you can half size something for me, I'm pretty good. I don't even know if I win quarter size. No, don't give me a quarter. Don't launch the micro NES next year. I'm not going to buy
it. No, but if you're going to sell.
Who am I kidding? I'm going to buy the micro NES.
Well, here's what I would buy. They build me, when they go get to a GBA Classic, and I think they will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're going to have to. That's a possibility.
Do it in the SP format. Don't do it in the old wide format. Do it in the SP format.
Yeah.
So it's a clamshell. It opens up. It's got 100 games on there. You got me, Nintendo. I'll buy the
damn thing
in a heartbeat.
You know for sure that Sega is already planning the Game Gear because all that technology is pretty much the same. So, I mean,
but the Game Gear is such an ugly piece of shit. And, I know the batteries would be better.
It looks really good.
Oh, I hate it. Because You know why? Here's why. You got a postage stamp screen in the middle and this gigantic plastic nightmare housing around it with these huge grips.
You need to see what Brazil has done with Sega. Hmm. You need to see what Tectoy. I need you to hold my hand, and we will one day get to travel down the road that is the Brazilian Tectoy story about the Sega Genesis and how they still to this day, or at least as recently as 2020, I think. Make the Sega Master System.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No carts.
Oh, yeah, no, they're huge down there.
They still make them because of all the import laws and stuff they have. It's hard for outside businesses to get in there. And so Sega has managed to hold this market via Tectoy. And it's an incredible idea. But there's this giant, you know how we had the giant magnifying screen for the Game Boys?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they have one for the Game Gear.
Of course they do. It's freaking amazing.
Looks cool as shit.
All right, listen to what they say here. This is a thing I found around the same time the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One launched in 2013. It was revealed that Sony's console had an insane price point in the Brazilian market. You're going to pay $400 for it here, down there, the equivalent of $1,899 US. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Says it's not good for gamers, not good for the PlayStation brand. Sony admitted. High taxes, blah, blah, blah. TecToy, meanwhile, doesn't have this problem because it produces the systems locally, meaning that you can get a Master System with 132 built-in games for around $50 U.S. money in a Walmart. Yeah. That is a steal compared to that. So it's mostly economic reasons that have forced them into this.
Yeah. Import, export. They've managed to, since Sega has turned over the manufacturing to TecToy, Sega took a real cheap shortcut to bypass all of the import stuff, right? And so they're on the inside doing this. Microsoft does the same thing. Microsoft is the biggest in Brazil because they have facilities there that actually, you know, make the machines. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a crazy. We may have to do a whole episode.
Oh, Brazil is such a weird, isolated. It's like, what, the fifth most populous country in the world?
Yep.
And it's got its own gaming ecosystem that totally bucks the trend of the rest of the world. I love it. It's a trip.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in more detail. Real quick here, if we jumped forward, here's what I would like to see be a mini next. Okay.
Right.
Because we are kind of done. We've got all the minis out there for the most part for this era that we're talking about, the 8-bit through 16-bit era. I don't care that I say this, but maybe I would if I got it. But I don't think I care about an N64 mini.
Yeah.
I do think a GameCube mini and
oh my God. Can you imagine a little GameCube sitting on the side and rotating around or something?
Just a little guy this big.
Like the logo.
Yeah. I just want this little guy this big. That's what I want. With a little handle on the back. That's what I want. And then I want a Saturn mini and I want a Dreamcast mini. That's what I want.
I think a Dreamcast and a Saturn makes really good sense. Aesthetically, I think.
What if they could do a Dreamcast mini, but it had a ton of ton of Saturn games on it? How about that?
Yeah, yeah. I think that may be at some point they may just go that route because there's going to be a point. It's going to be like, okay, are we really making that much money on the actual consoles themselves? Or, you know, are we repackaging the games? Where are we making the money at?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really good question.
I don't think minis are anywhere. I don't think they're going anywhere. I don't think this is like a fad. I'm not saying that it won't fall in and out of favor a little bit, but I don't think,
I think you're right. I think the trend will continue because I think they tapped into it. Like Nintendo with the NES Classic went, what if this looked like an NES, but it was just tiny and everyone lost their shit and they went, that's what people want. Okay. Then now you open up this swath of potential money and there's almost no console you could mention to me right now that if you told me I could get it in a little tiny format with a bunch of games on it, I wouldn't get excited. I'd get excited. I
mean, let's look. The real honest truth of it is, even though we really took a real close look at mini consoles, starting with the 2016 NES, which has been 6 years now.
Yep.
All this really started and never stopped since the early 2000s when we had the handheld, when we had the controllers that plugged into your component. So, I mean, or your composite, whatever. It's been a little bit. And I think it's proved that the idea has merit.
Yeah. I not only that, but
if the supply chain doesn't kill all of it off.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Like right now, things are great with supply chain. It still hasn't caught up to itself, and I don't know when that's going to happen. But there's probably
wake up one day and be very excited.
Yeah, you're going to just wake up on a Wednesday and they're going to go, all right, we're good.
We're good now.
All the silicon you can eat, it's available now.
There you go. We didn't even get into the hacking, but I if you have hacking questions on how to hack any of these things, I'll try to write up a little short thing. How to simplify some of the stuff that I experienced and did. Maybe I'll even do a video. I don't know.
I'll try to sum it up. All right. Well, let's watch for that. We got plenty more that you can do with your minis. But right now, this.
Destroy it.
All right. We like to play a game called Guess My Game every week where we play audio from an old game, try to guess what it is. Very few hints to get us there. And I'm going to start with me this week, Brian. I'm going to play a thing. And it came from 1995.
No.
But think console, but don't discount arcade.
Don't discount arcade, but think console. Okay, I am now primed and ready.
Those are your hints. Here you go. Some menu shit.
some menu shit.
Oh, that should be a giveaway right there. Did you hear that?
Oh, no, I missed it.
Hold on. Here, do it again. Right there. That should be a hint. Let's see if the chat gets it. It's not Chop Liquor, chat.
Oh, wait. Some kind of fighting game. It's 95. That would be like about the time I got my...
Yeah? What'd you get?
Does it sound like... What's this different screen? It's not like a Virtual Fighter, is it? It's...
Wait, I'm sorry. What'd you say? It's not like
what? It's not like a Virtual Fighter, is it?
Oh,
it's...
guess what? It is literally Virtual Fighter.
Okay.
Ready, go.
Oh, yeah,
two.
I hear it now.
Yeah, God, 100%.
That even sounds like carryover to into the Dreamcast era too. Listen to that. Boy.
Yeah,
it's so
it's,
Sega.
So this that is specifically the 1995 release of the Sega 32X version of the game.
Ah, that's why it didn't sound exactly familiar.
It's not 100% arcade. One-to-one on sound, but visually pretty much nails it. And control stuff, like, it's pretty much the arcade machine. And I loved it. I played the hell out of it.
Yeah,
I wore that cart down.
Baby.
I did. I really, really liked Virtual Fighter on that console. There's mine. Hey, Brian, I'm gonna play yours here. What's my year that I'm playing?
This is 1992, and I want to thank Dustin. He's the one who sent me. We talked about this earlier. That PS2 fat. He sent me that, and he also sent me this Stumper right along with it from 1992. So,
all right,
give a listen.
Here it is. '92, you say?
Yes, 1992.
Console?
Yes, it is. It's a console game, and now I'm starting to question my sanity. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
You always do this. Every week, Brian's not sure what file he's giving me.
Right. Because I want to... was this the Game Gear version of this?
I don't know.
I got the audio from? It's a Sega game.
Okay, Sega game. There's my hand. I don't freaking know. Give me another hint.
How about a Warner Brothers property? How about that?
Some Donald Duck shit. Oh, is it Darkwing Duck?
Warner Brothers? Come on, I said Warner Brothers. I didn't say Disney.
Oh.
Listen to the words I'm saying.
Yeah, I said what I say. I thought I said Daffy Duck.
I thought you said Donald Duck.
Oh, maybe I said Donald Duck. I didn't.
Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. Dustin sent me the SNES version, which is the audio you are listening to, is the SNES version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I was wrong. I was thinking of the Sega Genesis, and that was a different one.
Is this DuckTales? So, DuckTales?
No.
Darkwing Duck?
No.
It's
Tasmania.
Tasmania. I never played Tasmania. Was it good?
That was great.
Was it a good game?
I watched the video. Dustin seemed to think it was a pretty good game, and that it might be hard for you to guess, so that's good.
He's right. I had no idea what that freaking was. Not even the music's familiar. I guess I've never played it.
Yeah.
Was there a cartoon it coincided with that wasn't the shorts, like the Tasmanian Devil?
The shorts.
Okay.
Right.
Because he didn't have his own series in the 90s or something.
Not independently, I don't think.
Okay,
no.
That sounds right to me. By the way, I captured these out as well. Here we go.
Yahoo!
That's what's-her-name winning in Virtual Fighter.
Yahoo!
Yahoo! And then you got this guy.
Ready, go!
Oh, yeah. Always sound like he's in the shitter.
Right.
It's like, hey. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Tasmania was published by Sunsoft and is a different game than the ones published by the Sega Genesis, Sega Game Gear, and Nintendo Game Boy. That's what was confusing me. That isn't like the Tasmania I remember.
Yeah.
And that's right.
We need the guy calling our fight to be in the bathroom when he does it.
Ready, go!
Yep, just needs to be in the stall. All right.
Just like he's in a stall.
Well done. Here's this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Okay, we're going to do some emails. One of them, in fact, this is playretroshow@gmail.com is the email address to use. Sending us email this week is Steve, who says this. He says, hello, dudes. I wish I could have chimed in for last week's episode as I have a fave to contribute. Pac-Man CE or Championship Edition for the NES.
Oh.
Yeah, you heard me.
NES?
He says, was a demake of the original Championship Edition that came out for the 360. It's a great port, and the music is awesome. In fact, the music is probably the most notable thing about the game, considering its original hardware. Anyway, thanks. Here links to the gameplay, 39-second mark is where the magic begins. So I'm going to play this. I didn't know this existed. This is news to me.
I didn't either. This looks good.
Yeah. News to me that this is even a thing. Let's put this in here. So somebody figured out a way to say, hey, what if it's like Championship Edition gameplay, but let's do it on a NES. Oh, this music is good.
This is good. By Namcot.
Namcot. I love this. So somebody totally homebrewed this, right? I guess.
Oh, it looks so. Oh, and it's got the numbers after the dots too when you eat them.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, look at this. It's just and it scrolls. Wow, this is such a clean looking game.
I really like this. Was it 2008? They said.
Yeah. Well, that would have been Championship Edition came out.
Right. Yeah,
there's no reason you couldn't do the gameplay of that game on this old hardware.
Oh, look at this flashing guy. I love it.
It's this music. It's,
I'm having some kind of seizure, but I love it.
Oh, it's beautiful. You know what? I kind of want to play this. I'm going to track it down and see if I can get my hands on the ROM or something. I've been playing the hell out of this, so. Oh, and yeah. It moves as fast as it needs to move? I'm impressed.
Yeah.
On the old hardware, even.
Crazy.
That's nuts. Okay, well, you've convinced me.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Steve, you're the best, Steve. You're of all the Steves, you're my favorite Steve.
Yeah, I love that. You ever heard that I Am Steve song?
No. Is there an I Am Steve song? God. How's it go?
I Am Steve. That is the best. I Am Steve. There are very many Steves. And
what?
I am
really?
One of these. Yeah.
This is a real song. Thing. I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's a song by Hey Steve, and it's called I Am Steve. And
wow.
It's probably like, yeah, so I wouldn't doubt if Ibbit would have some kind of abilities to do some. There's an acoustic version on YouTube. Maybe we can get a hit for that one.
No, maybe. You never know.
X chicken.
Well, I'm too X chicken to check it out, but maybe you will at home. Send us those emails again. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. Big thanks to Steve and everybody else who sends us emails. We really, really appreciate it. Our next discussion is going to be all about, we mentioned it earlier, we're mentioning it again, the Dreamcast, the final
yes.
nail in both Sega's coffin. And I think jewel in their crown, because it was a hell of a console and I loved it, but it was a little bit too late, in some ways too early,
yeah,
for what that thing was laying down. But it's time it gets the spotlight, and we're going to talk about it here. It also kind of represents the upper ceiling of what we cover on the show in terms of retro
right.
gaming. And it's funny because, you know, I don't look at the PS2 and say, ooh, we should cover the PS2, but it's technically the same era. So
yeah,
I don't know why Sega gets a pass, because this thing unfortunately was a flop compared to its competition.
Yeah,
it deserves so much more.
The PS2 games I remember the most are the later PS2 games, and the Dreamcast games most I remember are the early Dreamcast games, because there wasn't many legs at a certain point.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you know, someone mentioned in the chat, and this is true, technically this is the first console Microsoft had their hands in, because it ran Microsoft CE was the underlying
tech. That's right.
Tech. Yeah.
And you know what
Windows
else?
CE.
Suck it, PlayStation. If you had a Dreamcast, you may have owned the Bleemcast. Do you remember that little CD?
I
allows you to
it.
Play PlayStation games on the Dreamcast?
I do remember the Bleemcast thing.
Suck it.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the lasting legacy that was the Dreamcast, some of its best titles, and I don't know, maybe some of the chances of it becoming a true mini. We'll dig into that a little bit deeper.
That'd be fun.
And what games we would include in there. So, yeah, Sega Dreamcast, the storied demise of Sega and rebirth in a lot of ways. Sega's doing a lot of cool stuff now with publishing, and, you know, they got a big handle on a lot of PC games these days. And they got a brand new Sonic game coming out. Like, they got stuff to do. They're doing it.
Yeah.
And
they look at that movie. Look at that Sonic movie. It did great.
Did real good. First, both of them did. They both did great.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sega got a little bit of breath left in them. You know.
Yeah. Brazil can't be all wrong.
No, Brazil can be more right than wrong. That's what I say. All right, Brian, we're going to get out of here. Before we do, though, I want to welcome any new patrons we've had since last week. Patreon.com/playretro. That's patreon.com/playretro. Great place to go sign up. and get additional benefits for supporting your favorite show. Throw us a couple of bucks, man. That's all we're asking. So we can keep making this stuff.
How are we supposed to afford these minis?
Right. How am I supposed to run out and get that freaking that C500 mini? I need the, right. I need the
keep,
cash.
Keep us from being... Look, you have no idea how many times I've been like, hey, what if I just contacted these people and see if they would send me a review copy? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want our show to be a review show where we shrill, you know, we take like that kind of stuff and then give it a review. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Boo.
Me neither. Me neither. But we'd love to have your support. Just because you like the show. That's the main reason that we're asking for it.
Yeah.
And if you do, great. If not, keep listening. Keep getting it the way you get it. It's fine. We're here for you. But for those of you who can, we'd love it if you could. Patreon.com/PlayRetro. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is once again our email address. PlayRetroShow on Twitter. And FrogPants.com/PlayRetro will get you everything else you could ever ask for. Hey, Brian, anything else to add before we go today?
Oh, yeah. Make sure you tune in nightly, usually 6 p.m. Eastern time. I am usually playing these games, and I will be doing some Dreamcast emulation this week and then dreaming and hitting Facebook Marketplace going, I wonder if there's somebody nearby who has a Dreamcast I can pick up, spend some of this Patreon money on. I'll probably do all of that this week.
Oh, very nice.
Don't be surprised.
If you want to know where I am, I'm busy building a castle in V Rising. That game's got me so hooked I can barely stand it. It's so good. It's so good.
I don't know what that is.
It's a really good... It's a modern game, though. See, you don't do those anymore. You don't play modern games. You play.
What is modern?
What is modern? What is modern? Baby. That doesn't make any sense. Why was I saying that?
Can I play it on my Sega Genesis Mini?
No. No, you
then
can't.
Then forget it.
Then forget it. Right, exactly. No sale for Brian. Anyway, that'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Play something retro. We'll see you next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.